Good morning. Shalom, people of God. Did you guys know that shalom is the Hebrew word for peace? See, I would have thought it meant something like howdy or hey, what's up or how y'all doing today? But no, it's actually peace. When you hear people greet each other with the word shalom, they're actually wishing peace to the other person. Now, when we think of peace, we think of absence of war or calmness or a nice day at the beach with no kids, right? Uninterrupted. However, the Hebrew meaning for the word peace or shalom is so much more than that. It goes so much deeper. I have a video that I want to share with you guys from the Bible Project, which you can find on Right Now Media through CCW, or you can just do a YouTube search. These guys want their material out there. They want you to know that they exist. They're called the Bible Project. You can find all kinds of things. They go through the whole Bible and explain every book, and it has little cartoons with it. So 80s kids like me that grew up Saturday morning cartoons can pay attention, right? So let's take a look at the video for peace.
The word peace is common in most languages. People can talk about peace treaties or times of peace. It means the absence of war. And in the Bible, the word peace can refer to the absence of conflict, but it also points to the presence of something better in its place. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And in the New Testament, the Greek word is eirene. The most basic meaning of shalom is complete or whole. The word can refer to a stone that has a perfect, whole shape with no cracks. It can also refer to a completed stone wall that has no gaps and no missing bricks. Shalom refers to something that's complex with lots of pieces that's in a state of completeness, wholeness. It's like Job, who says his tents are in a state of shalom because he counted his flock and no animals are missing. This is why shalom can refer to a person's well-being. Like when David visited his brothers on the battlefield, he asked about their shalom. The core idea is that life is complex, full of moving parts and relationships and situations, and when any of these is out of alignment or missing, your shalom breaks down. Life is no longer whole. It needs to be restored. In fact, that's the basic meaning of shalom when you use it as a verb. To bring shalom literally means to make complete or restore. So Solomon brings shalom to the unfinished temple when he completes it. Or if your animal accidentally damages your neighbor's field, you shalom them by giving them a complete repayment for their loss. You take what's missing and you restore it to wholeness. The same goes for human relationships. In the book of Proverbs, to reconcile and heal a broken relationship is to bring shalom. And when rival kingdoms make shalom in the Bible, it doesn't just mean they stop fighting. It also means they start working together for each other's benefit. This state of shalom is what Israel's kings were supposed to cultivate, and it rarely happened. So the prophet Isaiah, he looked forward to a future king, a prince of shalom. And his reign would bring shalom with no end. A time when God would make a covenant of shalom with his people and make right all wrongs and heal all that's been broken. This is why Jesus' birth in the New Testament was announced as the arrival of eirene. Remember, that's the Greek word for peace. Jesus came to offer his peace to others, like when he said to his followers, "My peace I give to you all." The apostles claimed that Jesus made peace between messed up humans and God when he died and rose from the dead. The idea is that he restored to wholeness the broken relationship between humans and their creator. This is why the Apostle Paul can say Jesus himself is our eirene. He was the whole, complete human that I am made to be but have failed to be. And now he gives me his life as a gift. And this means that Jesus' followers are now called to create peace. Paul instructed local churches to keep their unity through the bond of peace, which requires humility and patience and bearing with others in love. Becoming people of peace means participating in the life of Jesus, who reconciled all things in heaven on earth, restoring peace through his death and resurrection. So peace takes a lot of work, because it's not just the absence of conflict. True peace requires taking what's broken and restoring it to wholeness, whether it's in our lives, our relationships, or in our world. And that's the rich biblical concept of peace.
Wow. A lot to it, huh? So when we take a look at our lives and whatever we may be experiencing, whenever we feel there's something missing, right? When there's something that's just not right, have we given that part of ourselves over to Christ? If we look to ourselves and the things that creep up, especially this time of year, have we truly let go and given those things over to Christ, whatever they may be? Today we're going to take a look at some of life's struggles that we can hand over to Jesus, because as the video said, if peace means completeness, then the missing piece is the Prince of Peace. Now, for you visual learners, I have a couple of photos that I would like to share with you this morning. And think about where the missing pieces are in your life. Are there missing pieces from loved ones that have gone to be with the Lord? Are there missing pieces in your marriage? Missing pieces in your extended family? Are there missing pieces with your job, your health, your finances? What aspect of your life do you have yet to give to God to let Him fill the missing pieces? Or do we try to fill that God-sized hole with something other than God? It just doesn't sit right, does it, looking at those pictures? Even though you don't know what they're supposed to be, just something seems strange there. They just don't look well. So we're going to take a closer look at Mary and Joseph. When they were just about to find out about the plan that God had for their lives, we'll see how the Prince of Peace was their source of peace. As Christmas nears and we ready our hearts to celebrate the birth of Christ, we can find encouragement from the peace that Mary and Joseph showed during an extremely troubling time in their lives. In all reality, Christmas sometimes doesn't seem all bright and cheery, but it should give us some peace to know that even the first Christmas wasn't all bright and cheery. You know, it's kind of par for the course. You ever tried putting yourself in the shoes of Mary and Joseph as you read through the Gospels? Perhaps you can hardly imagine what it would have been like for them to learn of Mary's pregnancy, to be visited by angels, and then to live each day in the miraculous, being parents to the child who was born in such miraculous circumstances. The peace of Mary and Joseph can stand out in the Gospels as great encouragement to believers. This Christmas, as we experience various trials and challenges, the things that try to take our peace away, we can look to Mary and Joseph, who endured a variety of those trials and challenges, to find peace as they did and hold on to the hope that we have in Christ. So remember the story about Joseph and Mary that the Morrissey and Caputo families did such a beautiful job reading to us? Man, Joseph's life was in turmoil, wasn't it? Could you imagine going through that? He had no peace until they found out about the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. In fact, in the verse prior to what was read in Matthew 1:19, it says, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to subject her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. What a noble thing to do during this time. This was not an easy time for Joseph. His fiancée had become pregnant. Can you imagine? What was he supposed to do with this information? This was the woman he loved and was going to spend his entire life with. And now here she was. She had become pregnant. Now, I don't know about you, but I might have some questions. But the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So for him, man, there was a giant piece missing, wasn't there? Using his own earthly logic, his whole world was flipped upside down. But the missing piece was the Prince of Peace. The truth that was told to him by the angel changed everything, as it can in our lives. As with Mary, when she first encountered the angel of the Lord, it says in Luke 1:28, and he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And in verse 34 of Luke, she says, how will this be, since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Man, what a change, right? When she started off afraid of what was going to happen. How would she have this child in her? How would her fiancé react? How was she going to explain this to Joseph? She would be ousted from society and probably starved to death if she wasn't stoned to death first for committing adultery. But then look at that passage at the end. It says, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. So she went from being fearful and greatly troubled to having peace when she received the message from the angel. for her as well. Man, there was this giant piece missing, wasn't there? But the missing piece was the Prince of Peace. Once she knew that one piece of information about the presence of the Son of God, everything changed. The same can happen for us. Once we find out about the presence of the Son of God, man, everything changes. So much so, in her case, she responded with what's known as the Magnificat, or Mary's song. It's from Luke 1, 46 through 55. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arms. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Well, that's quite a contrast from the beginning when she was afraid, isn't it? She put her faith and hope in the Lord. Through Christ, she was able to set aside her anxieties and focus on the coming miracle. She was no longer scared and confused, but she had found peace and completeness. She had found shalom. Now, this time of year can be troubling for a lot of us for a lot of reasons. For some of us, it's the time of the year that we remember our loved ones more than ever that have graduated and gone to be with the Lord. This is when we miss them. We think about them and wish they were here with us again. Whatever we're going through seems to be magnified this time of year. It could be divorce or damaged relationships. Any type of loss we have suffered seems to be highlighted this time of year, and it can take our peace away. And we're stuck with that gaping hole in our soul again as we worry and stress about the things of this world. But the missing piece is still the Prince of Peace. Now, I'm not naive enough to think that just reading one scripture can help all of us and change all of our woes and make everything perfect. Although stranger things have happened, and God can certainly do whatever he wants, one scripture certainly can be a catalyst to begin to heal. And there's also things like divorce care, celebrate recovery, and grief share, where our brothers and sisters in Christ can begin to help us along the path toward healing. Here's what Jesus tells us to do in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. I won't profess to have this one down 100%, but it is one of those verses that we can learn and grow with and get better and better each day. It's a discipline we can strengthen. It says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Think back for a minute. Think of things that stressed you out that you worried about. Did additional worry make it go better? No, didn't help. Probably actually made it worse if we think about it. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What's he telling us? He's telling us, focus on Christ. Be concerned with Christ, moving close to him, and he'll take care of everything else. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. When we learn to stop being burdened by whatever it is that's keeping us down, we can begin to fill that void with the love of Christ. Through Christ, we can begin to have completeness in all aspects of our lives. He'll lead us to restore relationships. He'll provide us comfort when comfort seems impossible. He'll be present in our marriages so we honor God and our spouse as God would have us do according to his word. He'll lead us to forgive where we've been withholding forgiveness for years. He'll show us what is more important than material things in life. He'll teach us how to store up treasures in heaven, and most of all, he'll bring peace no matter what our circumstances. If we're prayerful and submissive and we hand our lives over to him, we can only find true peace through the Prince of Peace. Until I gave my life to Christ, peace wasn't even a thing that was on my radar, wasn't even something that I had considered, so much so that everyone around me saw it before I did. I remember I was going to visit a coworker, and she had this really nice peace lily in her shop, had all kinds of flowers on it. And I looked at it and I said, wow, you have a lot of lilies on there. I said, I have a peace lily at home and I can't even get it to grow one flower. And she said in her nice Southern Savannah, Georgia accent, she said, well, that's because you got no peace in your life. And she had no idea at the time how right she was. And neither did I. She was also one that would pray with her team every morning, and she didn't realize the seeds that she was planting by how she lived. I was driven by money, title, and conquering whatever the next hill was, but there was always another hill, right? None of them came with any fulfillment, just another hill. Back in those days, worry, fear, and anxiety ruled my life. That's not to say that they're not present still from time to time, but they're not in charge. Christ is in charge. They rear their ugly head every now and then, but they don't rule. Philippians 4:6-7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We all have that hole in our heart that we try to fill with money or stuff or relationships, the next iPhone or the biggest Christmas gift, the bigger boat, the faster car, the things of this world that never quite add up, do they? We run after all these things that bring temporary fulfillment that last such a short period of time, and at what cost? How much debt do we go into trying to keep up or fulfill or satisfy that hunger? And then January comes along and nothing's left but the monthly payment. And February, and March, and so on. Maybe we get caught up in the commercialization of Christmas and forget where true peace comes from. Man, we put way too much value on the things of this world that are just gonna burn up anyway. Maybe that's because we're trying to fill a God-sized hole in our hearts with something that's way less than God. Y'all, don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. Anything of this earth is way less than our God. Matthew 6:19-21 says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So let's take another look at our photos from earlier. Again, for those of us that need a visual aid, if there's a piece missing from any aspect of our life, the Prince of Peace is the missing piece. Do we try to fill that void, especially this time of year, with things of this world? Do we get caught up in the spending frenzy of the season only to be greatly disappointed? If there's something missing from your marriage, something missing from your family life, if there's unforgiveness, damaged relationships, things at work that are just not complete, if people you love are no longer with us and it's hard to fill that void, whatever is the missing piece, we can turn to the Prince of Peace. Like Mary and Joseph, we can pause in the uncertainty and praise the Lord for his goodness, mercy, and peace. We may not yet know what this Christmas season will bring, but we can still worship our Lord and Savior and find joy, hope, and peace in remembering the birth of Jesus. Though this year may have felt hard for us, each of us in unique ways, may we trust that God is going to do great things and bring worshipful hearts before him. And finally, the thing that makes Jesus' birth so great is actually his death. God sent his one and only Son to die for us so we could spend eternity with him in heaven. We're gonna have prayer counselors down front, and our elders and pastors will be roaming around as well, like they do. If you don't yet know the sacrifice that was made for you because God loved you so much, and he wants you to come to him, we would be happy to share it with you. Not only for an eternal relationship with him, but to fill those voids and give you a better, more fulfilled, purpose-filled life here on earth. If we can answer any questions for you or show you what is the next step on your path toward an amazing relationship with the King of Kings, we would love to have that opportunity. The process is quite simple, although sometimes we try to overcomplicate it. You simply believe that Jesus is the Christ, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, confess your sins and repent, which means to turn away, and then participate in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ by being baptized by immersion. We would love to help you walk through that process so you can begin to live a full life in Christ and find peace through the Prince of Peace. Well, thank you guys for hanging with us this morning. We hope you all have an amazing Jesus-filled Christmas. Let's pray. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for sending your Son to us. We pray we can stay focused on him and not the things of this world during this Christmas season. There's so much out there, Lord. There's so much in this in our world that tries to pull us away, that tries to make us spend money we shouldn't spend, do things we shouldn't do. And I pray that we can hear the call out like we did this morning from the elders, where people are out there and in need. You know, let's use our resources to help people like that rather than buying more stuff that we don't need. And Father, I just pray for wisdom for all of us that we can see and follow you and just make the right choices, God. Do what you would do. And we thank you so much for the peace of your Son, for the indwelling gift of the Holy Spirit that resides in us and gives us peace this time of year, no matter what we're experiencing. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.